As we draw to the end of another liturgical church year, and I'll say more about that in the coming Sundays, but as we draw near to the end of a liturgical church year, we also recall the Lord's own words about his second coming, second advent. And so we're going through the Gospel of Matthew, and now we're toward the end of Matthew. And of course, just as it was with Jesus' ministry, he's laying plainly everything about what's coming when the world ends and Judgment Day comes. In a sense, as long as you've been alive and as long as I've been alive and we've been in liturgical churches, we've been having fire drill practice. But let's remember that one day it won't be a fire drill practice. The Lord will come back to judge the living and the dead. And of course, our Lord wants us to be prepared. He wants us to understand. Today, we hear an interesting parable to help us get a picture of what Judgment Day is like. And it's in Matthew chapter 25. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. And when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly, I say to you, I do not know you." Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. And that's our appointed gospel reading toward the end of the church year for this Sunday. Our meditation this morning is based on our epistle reading, and it's titled, "A Message Worth Repeating Often." Perhaps you've taken a trip to a place you'd rather not go, where death can hurt so deeply, and its silence can scream so loudly that you simply hurt within your life so painfully. It's not an easy place to go. But here's the good news. It's only temporary. It's only temporary. Paul writes to a congregation, Thessalonica, the north part of modern-day Greece. And he writes to a congregation that's hurting. They've lost a lot of loved ones. And so he reaches out to them and provides pastoral care, pastoral encouragement. He wants them to understand that there's more here than meets the human eye. Boy, the challenge in our culture is we seem to have this love affair with scariness and death. I mean, Hollywood makes millions and millions of dollars having pictures on killing people. I mean, even in our culture, we seem to like death, but I don't know. Some of the graveyards that are set up in the front yards in my neighborhood look pretty weird. And then something like Sutherland, Texas happens. And 26 people are swept from a sanctuary to the shores of heaven, and no one knows hardly what to think. And certainly the people today who are waking up to the reality in their little community and what has happened to their lives. Death seems so final. But here's the good news. It doesn't matter how permanent that looks. It doesn't matter how final it may appear. It's only temporary. Paul, writing to people mourning over loved ones, says, "We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers. We don't want you to be ignorant about those who are asleep." That you may not grieve as those who have no hope. Certainly they'll grieve. They're supposed to. Blessed are they who mourn. Happy are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted by God. You know, as we think about Frankie Krause, there's a place for us to mourn, and there's a place for us to say, "Welcome home. Best has come. You are free." We don't have many of these here in this congregation. I came from a congregation that had 12 a year. And whenever I'd lose someone I'd known for a long time, I couldn't help but hear Jesus saying, "Welcome home, the best has come." In my Father's house, Jesus says, in my Father's mansion are many dwelling places. So the master craftsman is working. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you that you may be where I am. What's your place looking like? I guarantee you this, it's better than anything this world can offer. And it's permanent. And when this place is empty, and we have glorified bodies, this is our hope. And even though we shed tears for loved ones, in Christ, we have a view beyond this. Think about it. Paul spoke of death as being nothing more than sleep, from which one day we awake. Talk about taking the fangs out of death saying that. Asleep in Jesus, soon to awake forever. That's what's happened to your loved ones who have gone before you, as well as mine. Visiting my mom this summer, we packed to take a couple of days to go up to Montana to see my sister and brother-in-law and the ranch they're on. And as mom was talking about all the packing she would have to do at 90, she just kind of looked at me and quipped, "I'm sure glad my last trip I don't have to pack anything." And I laughed and said, "Amen, sister." You see, in what Christ has done for us, we can look beyond death and the grave. We can look beyond what can seem to this world the end, understanding that it's simply the beginning. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And it's in Christ and Christ alone that we can look beyond and see this stuff. What a view he gives us from his empty cross and empty grave. What he's done for us so that we can know that the best is yet to come. And it's coming to you and me and all who simply believe in what Christ has done for us. And we have his love. The first St. Paul Lutheran Church I served, right before I got there, they had a going away party. A going away party for a longtime member who wanted to say goodbye before the cancer finally shut her down. And she was one of the small town, like less than 300 people in the town of Hollandale. And she just wanted to say goodbye. And I'll see you in heaven. And a year and a day later, her husband passed away. And I was going to meet the family at the funeral home, and I got there early, and I was waiting for them, and Barry walked in, and he looked at me and said, "Pastor, I've been thinking. You know, we believe in the resurrection. We believe that we're going to be in glorified bodies. So I've been thinking. I was wondering if they would just rent this stuff to me." And I just kind of broke out in tears. And thinking, gosh, you know, he's understanding and looking beyond even the death of his dad, who he farmed with, and the resurrection. No matter how permanent that is, it's only temporary. Paul says, "Since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." I mean, again, he speaks of death as nothing but sleep, from which one day we will awake. "For this we declare to you, by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep." There it is again. There it is again. And then he ends by saying, in verse 18, "Therefore encourage one another with these words." This is the message that we are to share with one another. This is the kind of encouragement that I need when I'm mourning the loss of a loved one. This is the kind of encouragement you need. I mean to say this in the best of the terms of it, and I know it doesn't sound very good, but I mean this in the best of ways. This, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, is like the best stump speech you can use. These are the words we need to hear. These are the words that help us apply what God has done through his Son. There was a hymn we kind of taught our kids when they were growing up, because I liked to sing it along a lot. It didn't necessarily stay in their memory, but "Teach me to live that I may dread the grave as little as my bed. Teach me to die that so I may rise glorious at the awesome day." Boy, this is a message worth repeating often. This is the message, in so many ways, you and I need until the day it's our turn. Every day's a gift. And what happened in Sutherland Springs, Texas, was their time to travel to forever. "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on," says the Spirit. And we don't even have our choice of where it happens. Now, my mom has her order into God on how she wants to travel. And I tell her, "Well, you can put your order in, but God's still God and he's in charge." But every day's a gift. And we don't know when our time is up. Until that time, boy, this is a message worth sharing. And if the Lord shows up, we know that everything necessary for our salvation has been done by Jesus. So whether you're your faith is burning brightly or barely burning, he's the one who makes it burn. He's the one who's done it for us. And so we put our faith in that act of righteousness that not only saves us to live in hope, peace, joy, and love now, but takes us to the shores of forever when it's our turn. So share the good news. In the name of Jesus, amen.